warm hugs from God.
Okay. This is Pure Decking, show number 495 for Thursday, September the 15th, 2008. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and for God's sake, we don't talk about the Jewish space lasers. Madman, explain to us why we don't talk about the Jewish space lasers.
Because the 12 Jews that control the banking industry will wreck your credit score if you mention that they have a space laser before they decide to use it on whichever enemy they want to use it on?
There it is. Are you? What's your opinion on the space laser?
Man, let me get my 60-foot pole.
Don't worry, if we have a congresswoman that can talk about it... a congresswoman that talks about it. Anyone can.
If I hadn't been hitting the everything is fine button all evening.
If only they knew what happens off air.
Yeah, you think what we say on air is bad, you should hear what we keep to ourselves.
Big hello to the FBI and NSA.
Hey, Jerry, how are the kids? God, I hope you don't let them listen to this.
Your wife still makes that wonderful tuna casserole. It's great. But it's hell on the waistline.
Oh, hell.
They'll go mad listening to my eugenics program. My theory on eugenics that it didn't end in the 20s.
So... Wait, why do you think it... No, are you? We know it didn't end in the 20s. They were attempting it up until it became rather unfashionable to do so, you know, due to, you know, Germany.
We hung a lot of people after we discovered what was happening. We'll hang a lot more again soon, don't worry.
What's the discussion topic?
It's a story.
Lots of people.
No more fucks to give, right? Everything is fine.
Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine.
So, article I have for us to talk about tonight is from The Guardian. Sydney schools' use of a fingerprint scanner in toilets is an invasion of privacy, expert says. Moorbank High School installed the scanners to prevent vandalism and track student movements after consultation with community focus group. A Sydney High School's decision to install fingerprint scanners at the entrance to toilets to track student movements and prevent vandalism has been criticized as unreasonable and disproportionate by a privacy expert. Moorbank High School moved to install the scanners in term three, with the school's principal, Valley Grego, telling parents it was a measure intended to reduce vandalism. Quote, the system will roll out in term three for the external student toilets only, unquote, she wrote in a letter to parents earlier this year. Quote, we are introducing this system to monitor students' movements during class time and reduce the incidence of vandalism. We will then investigate the upgrade to the toilets, unquote. Students were asked to provide their fingerprint information for the system, with almost all of the 1,000 already having done so. The system was introduced after 2 years of consultation with the school's community focus group and does not actually record a fingerprint. Instead, the alphanumeric representation of the fingerprint is created with the information stored off-site. There are so many ways to take this. There are so many ways. The system is not compulsory, with students able to access the toilets during class time by obtaining an access card from the office. Samantha Florinali, the program lead at the Digital Rights Watch, said preventing vandalism was not a good enough justification for what she calls an invasion of privacy. Quote, students should have the right to go to the bathroom without having their biometric information collected and their movements constantly monitored. Unquote, she said. Florinini wanted the risks posed by the system, or warned the risks posed by the system far outweigh any potential benefits. Quote, if there were to be a data breach, for example, the information was to be accessed by somebody who's not authorized, or if there was a leak, or if there was a hack, and then suddenly you got a student fingerprint being accessed by people who shouldn't have access to that information. And then that creates all kinds of risks for these students, for example, identity fraud, or it could potentially be linked to other kinds of information. She said the move set a dangerous precedent for other schools and contributes to the normalization of surveillance. And that's right on the nose. A spokesperson for New South Wales Education said the schools, wait, NSW, that is New South Wales, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Said the school's parent, I just suddenly flashed on that. It's like, did I just say something incredibly stupid? I mean, like it'd be the first time, but still. said the school's parent community was notified and consulted about the scanners via a community focus group. Quote, the decision to install the mechanism was ratified by this group on more than one occasion. All parents were notified. The information was disseminated to parents via school newsletters, and the minutes of community focus group meetings were also emailed to all parents, unquote. So, well, first and foremost, how often do you think somebody's, you know, putting tape over the latch, stuffing a wad of paper in the door, or just, you know, you're taking Vaseline and smearing it on the fingerprint reader so the next person who touches it goes, ew! I mean,
right?
It's fucking high school. Do you have somebody sitting there monitoring the door so that you don't have one student scan it and 30 walk in?
That's what I mean. It's not a man trap, dude. It's fucking easy to get around.
And they said it's during class. So in between classes, are they just open? Because if that's the case, how the hell is this going to stop vandalism?
It just seems like a really crafty way to get fingerprints. Right.
And when they say, oh, we're not storing the actual fingerprint, you bet the images of those fingerprints weren't stored somewhere.
Uh-huh. You want to bet they were handed over to the police?
Well, considering...
Just in case.
I mean,
like that, I wouldn't put it past them, dude.
I wouldn't put it past them either. I know that they used to make a big, you know, there were some groups that made a big deal about schools taking kids to tour police stations, and they always fingerprint all the kids to show them what it's like. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that happening when I was in elementary school. Luckily, your fingerprints at that age change, but still, you know, you don't know what's going on.
We used to have a really good track record of personal privacy in this country. But, you know, 9/11 happened, everything fucking changed.
Okay. I'm just wondering how much damage was being done to their bathrooms.
Not enough to need biometric scanning.
That's a high school bathroom, right? So it's going to be Sharpie on the walls?
I wonder how much the system cost. I wonder what the system upkeep costs is. Do they have to hire an extra staff member to monitor this thing?
Somebody's got to manage data entry. You have to enroll your students every year. You know, you bring in your new students; they all have to get enrolled.
Yep. Fingerprints.
Yep. You'll want to purge the system of old students after they graduate, just for, you know, just so you don't fill up the flipping database.
Yeah, but nobody will think about that until the database is full.
That's a good point. But doing a full on identity management system, I mean, I've ran them. I know something about them. I've ran multiple of them for different companies because it was part of my day job. These things are a pain in the ass.
Huh?
So, not to mention, it's a fucking high school. What are you going to do when somebody takes a pocket knife and you know, wrecks the thing so nobody can get in? I mean, it's not going to be long before, you know, they talk about having an access card you can get from the office. Well, you know, eventually what happens with access cards, as somebody who's ran these systems, you'll have the receptionist and several, you know, key people in the business complain that, oh, this is too hard. I wish I could just have a bank of cards I could hand out to people, guest cards and things like that. And eventually they'll get to the right person in leadership who'll come back to the person running the system and say, you have to do this. It's like, yeah, but that defeats the point. Well, right, but you know, Susan the receptionist is PO'd, and I owe her a favor, so just fucking do it. So then, next thing you know, you've got guest cards floating around. They are never managed correctly.
Uh-huh.
And,
but,
yeah.
You know, cheeky little scamps like ourselves who would have, you know, maybe bought a card reader at school and duplicated the cards and started handing the cards out to the people we knew who were vandalizing the thing.
Well, it's a high school bathroom stall, right? So that means paint pens, Sharpie, and, you know, somebody thinking they're really cute putting the occasional glory hole in.
Yeah. But, that's the shop, kids, man.
It's fucking high school. Nobody's using a flipping glory
hole. Dude, I would have been, all over that thing trying to hack it or hack the database.
Oh, I just think it's going to be.
Wire or is it by Wi-Fi?
Oh, these are installed after the fact.
Everyone.
These are installed after the fact. You know, it's got to be Wi-Fi.
Okay, so FireSheep's probably not the application for that, but there'd be a man in the attack.
No, FireSheep would not be the...
Oh, sorry, I was just trying to think off my head how to pull shit out of the air, and that's the only thing coming to my alcoholic-riddled fucking mind.
No. You run one of the Wi-Fi monitoring tools, you know, pick one, find the SSID it's on, and then, there's a couple of different ones out there. Kali Linux keeps a nice updated thing because they rotate out. You know, the ones I used a few years ago probably aren't really good anymore. But basically, you monitor the packets on that radio. You start de-authing the devices so that they have to reconnect. You capture the key. You get on the thing. Now you can monitor the traffic. They're embedded devices, so it may or may not be encrypted. If it is encrypted, you think it's probably just plugged straight into the school network anyways. So then you just get on the right you just get on the right machine.
get your Python equipped friend to, maybe write up a little script that puts on the huge billboard outside the front of the school. Who's shitting right now? Install number what? You know what I mean? Just shit shame people.
Oh, well, if that's the case, your buddy whose dad's got a resin 3D printer, they're cloning somebody's thumb to get around the fingerprint scanner. And
there's a lot of ways to play with this, but
it's still a fucking high school. So we're coming up with these fun ways around it to hack the system and all that. And somebody's going to try it, sure. But most of the kids are going to go for the $5 wrench.
Yeah, or they just analog it by sticking shit in the lock to stop it from latching. It's retarded.
Is this on the stalls?
It doesn't say. I think it's in the bathroom. Door. It's just to go into the bathroom.
I mean, it makes no sense. To me, it was just, how do we fingerprint everybody? Slowly bring biometric scanning into the schools,
How many people wash quietly? Their hands? Are we going to see some pink eye from this?
Hope so.
Oh, yeah. It's the land of the koof. That's right. Do you have somebody on staff sanitizing these after every read?
I don't know anymore, man.
That's the point. This stuff is so stupid. Fingerprint scanner to get in the fucking bathroom? Are you kidding me? It's a high school. Yes, they're going to get vandalized. Congratulations, your janitorial staff gets to repaint the stalls every 6 months.
Fuck, every couple of weeks when I was going to high school.
Well, whatever.
I'd vandalize the shit out of those.
Nobody cares that, somebody wrote on there about Bobby claims he butt-fucked Susie. I mean, that's the shit you usually see on the bathroom stall. Or somebody's phone number.
I was an ethical vandal. I used to draw nice pictures. These nice characters, man.
So
I was gonna do some while I'm having a smoke.
Actually,
he writes upon the walls should roll his shit in little balls.
Actually, are you? You just nailed it. I think that's what this really is. It's not about vandalism. It's about kids smoking in the bathrooms.
Vaping these days.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Vaping, shooting up heroin, whatever it is kids are doing these days. Hey, fellow kids. I mean,
But shit, dude. They got enough psychotropic drugs prescribed to them anyway that they're legal. They swap shit all the time. But,
I'll swap you my ADHD meds for your anti-depression meds. We'll see what happens. Madman,
you would be very surprised how often it happens.
The pharmaceutical grab bag.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Everybody in the middle, dump what you've got. We're going to divide it evenly and then take it with a shot.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, Madman.
Some asshole dumps Flintstones chewables in there.
Vitamin D.
You get your daily amount of vitamin D and vitamin C, my friends.
And as a prank, one person slips in the Viagra.
There you go. Now it's a party.
What do we have next?
Okay. What we have next, are you sent me this one. It's yet another school being funny. U.S. school app accounts hacked to send explicit image. They make a big point about never referencing the image in this. So parents in the U.S. have reported receiving a notorious explicit image after hackers targeted a school app with 10 million users, including teachers, students, and family members. And I love the clip art they have on here. One's a crying girl, and the other's the mom looking at the flip phone, very concerned.
Okay. It's a notorious, right? Which means it's well recognized.
What do you think, Goatsy, Tub Girl, or Mr. Hands?
I'm thinking it has to be fucking Goatsy.
Oh, Mr. Hands needs more respect.
No, the only reason I say it must be Goatsy is I've seen pretty much Goatsy popping up on 4chan every day for the last couple of weeks, where I hadn't seen it in months in threads. So that's the only one I could think of as notorious. I mean, they'd use the word disgusting if it was one man, no jar.
Oh, God.
Everyone who's seen that just cringed a little and puckered. Don't look for it if you're going to have a bad day.
Huh, those ankles look familiar. No! Oh, there are many reports from the school of teachers There are many reports of schools and teachers of the image being sent from hacked accounts on the Seesaw app. Seesaw said that the link to an inappropriate image was shared and it had taken action to stop the issue. The graphic image is a highly explicit internet meme intended to shock. Yeah, so it's probably Goatsy. Somebody who works with teachers and pupils told Seesaw via Twitter, quote, "You have a hack in messages that's allowing inappropriate pictures to be shared with families and teachers across multiple districts. Please take action." The BBC is not... Oh, okay. They linked to the Twitter, and it's basically Seesaw saying, yeah, somebody got in. Let's see. I guess I can just read the Seesaw statement. "This morning, we learned that a link to an inappropriate image was being shared via the messages feature. The safety and privacy of our teachers, students, and families is our number one priority, and we are taking this extremely seriously. We took immediate action to address the issue. In addition to earlier update, we now have more information to share. We determined this incident was led by an outside actor and occurred as a result of a coordinated attempt to guess user accounts' passwords, sometimes known as a credential stuffing attack." Okay, yes, they are sometimes called that. Most people just call it, you know, brute forcing. Seesaw was not compromised. However, isolated individual user accounts were compromised and used to send an inappropriate link. So, in other words, somebody wrote a bot. They sat there and tried passwords till they got into an account. When they got into an account, they did the old school spamming thing and just sent the link to everyone in the contact list. Then it went on to the next account and kept going. Let's see. "We have no evidence to suggest this outside actor performed any additional actions or accessed other data in Seesaw beyond logging in and sending a message from the compromised account. We have taken a series of actions to stop these issues and put additional protections in place to prevent future issues from occurring." Okay, you're saying you guys seriously weren't watching for numbers of failed login attempts from a single IP address? Well, I guess they could be coming from a botnet or something for a farm, but even so, if you see a single account get a certain number of failures, you normally lock out the account like after like two or three, because
gotta think how many parents are calling in to get their account unlocked.
And that's the problem, right? Is it comes back to the user saying you can't make it hard, but then complaining when their accounts get popped. It's like, well, if you didn't use, you know, easily guessable passwords. You know, the word password is, in fact, not a good password. In its statement, Seesaw denied that the hackers had gained administrative access, but instead had hacked isolated individual accounts. It shared more details about the attack and what it did in response on a status page. Quote, widely available compromised emails and passwords were reused across services to gain unauthorized access to Seesaw accounts. Oh, that's not even as complicated as what I was thinking, because I only skimmed the story when RU sent it to me. They just took, you know, known lists off like Darknet and just tried them. Some parents told U.S. media of their horror when the image appeared in group chats. Well, I guess if they didn't know what it was.
If it's your first time, yeah, I can imagine.
It's like,
what an image to pop your cherry on the internet with.
The vomit heard around the world. The head of one school in Milwaukee warned parents not to blame those who appeared to have sent the message. Quote, while specific parent names were attached to the messages, the school statement said, we know that these parents were not involved. Yeah, I mean, this is old school, you know, this is just old school trolling.
Trolling, man. That's yeah. All it is.
Oh, Seesaw said in response to the incident, it had completely disabled the messaging feature to stop additional users seeing the inappropriate message, removed the inappropriate message from accounts in which it was sent, reset the passwords of all compromised accounts, and notified users. Many schools sent out warnings about clicking on links obscured by Bitly as a link shortening service. Seesaw said it had worked directly with Bitly to disable the links. Yeah, this is just old school trolling.
You never use password. Use door swipe. That's a much safer password.
Door swipe?
Yeah. DORWSSAP.
Okay. I mean, it's longer.
Yeah.
I guess I'm missing your joke, Madman. Sorry.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Be like 3 in the morning, I'll wake up. Oh! Let's see. Yeah, kind of shit for stories this week, truthfully.
It's been a slow month, actually.
Unless you all want.
It's strange how many schools are going to this online app stuff instead of actually talking to parents.
Madman, you've met parents. Which would you rather do?
Yeah, dude.
But parents need to be more involved in their kids' education than just logging into an app instead of actually getting to know their teachers. What's going on in the classroom and what's being taught.
I see RU hasn't...
My parents knew all of my teachers' names and talked to them regularly.
I see RU hasn't benched to beat that idealism out of you yet.
Getting there. I mean, look, the new generation of teachers coming through don't even want to talk to the kids. They have a real issue.
Well, I don't know. Some of them want the kids' approval for their alternative lifestyles. So.
Yeah. But teaching has attracted the wrong sort of people in the last 20 years. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I guess I got to think, how old were some of my teachers when I was in school? And then how long ago has it been since I was in school?
Well, see, I'm still immersed in the primary school stuff. But I still talk to a lot of teachers in that, and I don't put much stock and faith in the new generation of teachers. One, yeah, they want the validation from their students. Instead of the students needing to be validated from them, it just seems a little ass backwards where the attention needs to be going. I don't know. Like the
yeah, I had some teachers that actually cared. They helped me when I needed help and then kicked me in my ass when they knew, you can do this, you just don't want to, you're being fucking lazy, get out there and do this.
You know,
dude, my English teacher was the best teacher I ever had. You know why? Because he took no shit from me and he shamed me publicly constantly. Because he knew I had dyslexia and he'd get me to spell words out in class so everybody would laugh at me.
I was going to say...
It was cruel, but it was motivation, man.
So, I actually, you know, I marched band in high school. Big shock, right? And our band instructor... I mean, he was really good like that. You know, I mean, he didn't care if it was banned or not. If he found out you were having shit in another class, he'd give you shit for it. He'd call you out in front of the group. He got in trouble for calling the entire group retards, the entire band retards. It's hilarious. Oh, I should tell that story. Okay, story time. This good enough. It's been long enough. So
just don't mention names.
Yeah. So our band, school band, used to practice the marching drills in the lawn in front of the school. And there's a housing development on the other side of the highway, right? And so he'd have the bullhorn up and be up on the painter's scaffold they use so they could get up high enough to see the see if anybody was out of formation. And my junior year, there was a section in the piece we were marching that had a musical slowdown in it. Now, I know RU knows, and I'm sure Madman knows because I've told him this story. The musical term for slowing down is a retard, to slow down. So when we would hit that section while marching drills, he would be up on top of the painter scaffolding with his bullhorn, screaming, "Retard! Retard!"
Snowy had no idea.
The parents who lived in the housing development across the street complained to the school that he was out there calling the band retards. And so they brought him into the meeting because he had to explain that it was a musical term that meant to slow down, because that was a particular part of that music we were playing that the tempo slowed down. And
lucky it was before the world went mad.
The next day, he's up there on the painter's scaffolding, because he told us about this while before we went out there to do the drills, and he was laughing. Because he thought it was, hilarious that people didn't know these musical terms. But, so we're out there marching. We come up to that song. Retard! You retards!
That's awesome.
And then anybody who broke and was laughing and, out of formation because they were laughing at him being funny, they got to do push-ups. So
nice. Out of formation, push-ups now.
That's right. That's how it worked. Most upper body strength in a marching band, which, depending on the instrument you're playing, you kind of needed it.
Sousaphone players had no issues.
Sousaphone players wore their instrument. I was walking around with a fucking 10-pound, euphonium in front of my face, which looks like a big trumpet. A 10-pound piece of metal pressed against your teeth while marching. Yeah, that's great. Anyways, so yeah, man, but of course, marching band, you had him the entire high school career, so he heard you were doing bad in a class. Oh fuck, he did not tolerate that shit.
Yeah,
so so I kind of had him chasing my ass all high school to do well. It worked. So he was good. A lot of appreciation for him in the end, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't get that when you're interfacing over an app. You need face to face with your teachers, and parents need to be there involved.
And the teachers need to be able to call you a retard.
Yeah, especially when you're being retarded.
All right, next.
I know your son can do it. He's just being lazy. I'm kicking him out of this class. He's moving up.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's, I guess, next article here. This one's from Ars Technica. Ethereum completes the merge, which ends mining and cuts energy use by 99.95%. This is an interesting move because Ethereum, it was the cryptocurrency driving mining on GPUs. Bitcoin had already moved off to dedicated hardware. There was starting to be dedicated hardware for Ethereum, but none of it was really great. And they've figured out that they can use some of that hardware for other other cryptos, but Ethereum's whole contract system gave rise to these other crypto tokens, which are not direct Ethereum, but they're traded on the Ethereum blockchain. And so, like, a lot of the metaverse projects are, they're using their own tokens that are built on top of the Ethereum blockchain through the contracts. And it can get a little weird where you end up with all these different tokens and all of them are on the Ethereum blockchain. But with this merge, Ethereum is no longer using, you know, GPU mining. They're not using proof of work. They're now using proof of stake, meaning that if you're a miner, you have to keep so much of the Ethereum coin, I guess, vested. Maybe the article explains it better. I don't remember because I queued it up early. Ethereum developers today executed the merge, an upgrade that eliminates mining and dramatically reduces energy consumption of the world's second biggest cryptocurrency. Today's action completed Ethereum's transition to proof-of-stake consensus, officially depreciating proof-of-work and reducing energy consumption by 99.95%. Ethereum.org merge page said, the Ethereum blockchain has existed since July of 2015, and planning for today's change has been in the works for several years. Because a botched transaction could have caused chaos, or transaction transition could have caused chaos, Ethereum developers over the past year have, quote, repeatedly pushed back the date of the merge to give themselves more time to prepare. As Ars writer Timothy B. Lee previously wrote in a detailed feature on the transition, the merge will put the world's Ethereum miners out of work, as the new system doesn't require powerful graphics cards previously needed to maintain the blockchain and create new Ether, Lee wrote. The switch was highly anticipated, quote, when the merge officially kicked in at 6:43 a.m. UTC, more than 41,000 people were tuned in on YouTube to an Ethereum mainnet merge viewing party, CoinDesk wrote. They watched with bated breath as key metrics trickled in, suggesting that Ethereum's core system had remained intact. After about 15 minutes, the merge officially finalized, meaning it could be declared a success. Before the merge, Ethereum's annualized power consumption was comparable to the country of Chile, and its carbon footprint was similar to Hong Kong, according to DigiEconomist Ethereum Energy Consumption Indexed. The Ether price was down on almost 9% today as of writing, while Bitcoin dropped about 2.4%. The official Ethereum website explains that the merge, quote, was the joining of the original execution layer of Ethereum, the mainnet that has existed since Genesis, and its new proof-of-stake consensus layer, the Beacon Chain. It eliminates the need for energy-intensive mining and instead enables the network to be secured using staked ETH. The Beacon Chain was created in December of 2020 as a separate blockchain domain mainnet running in parallel, and after a lot of testing was ready to take over. The Beacon Chain was not originally processing mainnet transactions. Instead, it was reaching consensus on its own state by agreeing on active validators and their account balances, the Ethereum.org merge page says. After extensive testing, it became time for the Beacon Chain to reach consensus on real-world data. After the merge, the Beacon Chain became the consensus engine for all network data, including execution layer transactions and account balances. Now that the change is complete, mining is no longer the means of producing valid blocks. Instead, the proof-of-stake validators have adopted this role and are now responsible for processing the validity of all transactions and proposing blocks. The joining of the mainnet with the Beacon Chain also merged the entire transaction history of Ethereum, so no history was lost in the process. The chain should be seamless for people who hold Ether. Funds will still be accessible without any user action. Quote, there is no such thing as old ETH, new ETH, or ETH 1 or 2, and wallets work exactly the same as before after the merge as they did before. People telling you otherwise are likely scammers, the Ethereum project said, which is basically the only reason I wanted to read this article, because, well, there's a few other implications, but that's the big one. Anybody who says that you have to do something because of this merge with your Ethereum is probably trying to steal it from you. Yeah, so they've got a quote here. Validators on the Beacon chain are rewarded with ETH for attesting to the state of the chain and proposing blocks. Rewards or penalties are calculated and distributed at each epoch, or about every 6.4 minutes, based on validator performance. The validator rewards are significantly less than the miner rewards issued on proof of work, as operating a validation node is not an economically intensive activity and does not warrant as high a reward. So by contrast, yeah, mining is a... Oh, okay. I just read that. So, yeah. So the mining, you know, before the merge, mining rewards total about 13,000 ETH per day, and rewards for staking are about 1,600 ETH per day. After the merge, only, yeah, will remain, dropping total new ETH issuance by 90%, the page says. To participate, validators explicitly stake capital in the form of ETH into a smart contract on Ethereum, according to the proof of stake explanation. This staked ETH then acts as collateral that can be destroyed if the validator becomes dishonest or lazy. The validator must deposit 32 ETH onto a deposit contract and run software including an execution client, a consistent client, and a validator. Whereas under proof of work, the timing of blocks is determined by the mining difficulty. In proof of stake, the tempo is fixed, the proof of stake page says. Time in proof of stake Ethereum is divided into slots, 12 seconds and epochs, 32 slots. One validator is randomly selected to be a block proposer every slot. This validator is responsible for creating a new block and sending it out to other nodes. Also, in every slot, community validators are randomly chosen. So the big problem I have with this, from Ethereum's point of view, is by greatly reducing the rewards and moving to proof of stake and having to deposit 32 ETH in to be a validator, which, what is that right now? 32 ETH to US dollar is about $1,500.
Damn.
How many miners do you expect to transition over to proof of stake? If you have, I imagine you're going to see a great contraction in the number of people validating Ethereum transactions. And if that's the case, won't the network be less secure? Because what makes a blockchain, you know, more trustworthy is the number of independent, you know, agents validating transactions. So this is, I think, going to reduce the number of people who are doing that, you know, who are participating in that validation versus running a miner. Because anybody with some old GPUs laying around after upgrading to their gaming rig every year, well, I guess you couldn't really do that, you know, during the chip shortages, but a lot of people used to do that. You know, you'd have a stack of graphics cards laying around. You could run an Ethereum miner on them just to do something with them. But on the upshot, since this is the big use of GPU mining, we'll probably see better GPU prices for gamers, since a lot of the GPUs that would have been bought up for mining are going to be available and on the market.
I still have a question about the switch over in the blockchain of its continued validation.
I will try. I don't know that I can answer it because I'm not a perfect expert on this. I just understand enough about what goes on under it.
If they're, with the changing on the way it's being maintained, is there a way of continuing validate of, you know, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. The continuity of validation, I think, would change with the method that they're using to validate.
No. Okay. So the consensus validation and the cryptography is still happening, right? But instead of having to mine for whatever the trigger that they had programmed in, I've honestly forgotten what Ethereum was looking for. Like Bitcoin used to be a certain number of zeros at the end of the hash after a function, right? Or something like that. Maybe it wasn't Bitcoin. Maybe that was one of the others. But they're simply removing that requirement so that you can do straight normal cryptography for the encryption. And you still have to validate all of the transactions and that they match. So that part won't really change. What's happening is how are you proving the transaction? So instead of having to crunch all these numbers and get a specific outcome, you're just trusting that whatever your randomly chosen validator is going to do it, and then everyone else on the network has to validate and vote yes or no on the results. So as long as, because you can update the algorithms, you can update how the mining happens. You just have to make sure that the logic of the actual chain is consistent, right? And that's what they were talking about in the article about, you know, why they kept pushing it back and why they were doing all this testing and all that. It's because they wanted to make sure they got it right, because if you tried to change the engine under the blockchain and it didn't work during the rollback, you basically are stuck. Like, Ethereum cannot transact until you fix it, right? If they broke it. So that's why they were talking about how nervous they were about doing this.
It also kills any credibility with a hiccup like that.
Oh, yeah. And Ethereum has a lot of other systems built on top of it nowadays through that contract system. You know, that's what I was talking about with, like, Metaverse and tokens and things like that. Pretty much all of the NFTs are built on top of Ethereum. Whereas we kind of laugh at people putting absurd amounts of money into NFTs, there are things that use those systems, and there's still a lot of money moving around in those systems. So whether the things people are putting their money into is worth anything or not, fine, but that's still a lot of financial transactions moving on that system. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe I'm just too slow, but I wouldn't be going into crypto derivatives at this point. Of course, I still question crypto a bit.
Well, the technology under crypto is sound. The system of derived consensus through a, you know, series of networked independent agents, so that you can make sure that that blockchain is valid and agreed upon, is also a valid way of managing a ledger, right? So the technology is sound, the theory is sound. What people do with it is anybody's guess.
My issue isn't the technology or even the theory. I don't have faith in their credit.
What do you mean? Because
the reason the dollar's worth something, even though it's fiat currency, it's literally the faith in the government, is the U.S. does have assets to back up its debt if it needs to. With a cryptocurrency, it is all faith.
Yes, it is. And it could absolutely, like, okay, if you have $100 worth of Bitcoin right now, it could absolutely be worth nothing tomorrow.
Or in 10 seconds.
Mm.
Yeah, that's been my whole hesitation on crypto, because the technology is great. And if you're going with a full fiat currency, it's better than any of the ones we're currently using.
Not by fucking much.
It's much harder for a central bank to manipulate it, and that's what makes it much better. All the other ones are easily manipulated by a central bank.
Oh, careful, madman. You're very thin ice. I have as much faith in my Australian dollar as I do in crypto right now. Because the people who have the wallet are drunken fucking idiots. Yeah,
but there are millions of them. So it's really hard to get them to work together to do the conspiracy it would take to jack up the ledger.
No, I'm just talking about the central banks colluding with governments right now to manipulate money.
Yeah, but they've always done that. Any delusion that a central bank is independent from the government is just that, a delusion.
Well, that's actually one of the nice things with crypto, is it's all open. Like, you could go validate every transaction on the blockchain if you want to. So if you had somebody attempting to manipulate the blockchain, it's possible. I want to make sure I say this right. If somebody is attempting to manipulate the blockchain, all of their manipulations will be recorded into the blockchain and can be seen. So if you had a government trying to artificially increase or decrease the amount of cryptocurrency, those transactions would be available in the ledger, right?
Yes, Morps, but you have to have people who give a fuck.
That's
the Panama Papers are real too. but no one, and that's a ledger of all the fuckery going on, but no one wants to look into that.
You're right about
right
that.
Right now, the people into crypto are the people passionate about crypto, so they do give a fuck.
But
that's what gives them a bit of validation in my eyes.
Well, and that's why when I first started, I was saying it's possible, and then, you know, stopped and thought about how I wanted to say it, is because you're right in that somebody has to catch it. Somebody has to notice it. But right now, the people who are playing with crypto are also the same ones who figured out what wallet the FBI is using to hold the funds they took from the Silk Road and caught people, you know, FBI agents embezzling it.
Oh,
so,
yeah, moving millions, the filthy cunts.
So that's the fun part. Versus a fiat currency sitting in a bank, there is no public ledger of what's happening with those accounts, even in publicly traded banks. And, you know, you can argue whether that's for good or for ill, but it does mean that if a government wanted to inject cash into a bank, into a bank account, or yank cash out of that account, they could do that with the only record being, you know, existing inside whatever institution they injected that cash into or took that cash from, right? So if that institution chose not to publish that information, nobody has any clue that this has been happening. And I believe Deutsche Bank got in trouble for that a few years ago.
And the Fed doesn't release its minutes regularly and actually on some major things seal it for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Like the big bailout of 2008, they just released how much money they actually put in to the economy at that time. And for anyone that cares, it is several times what they were publicizing at the time.
Uh-huh.
And with a blockchain cryptocurrency, that kind of manipulation is visible.
Yeah, you know about it real time rather than a decade and 4 years afterwards.
And that's why proof of work was such a handy way of generating your tokens, is because there was always a set amount of new coin, token, whatever you want to call it, appearing on the blockchain. So if an amount ever showed up randomly, you know, like you had a big spike in the amount showing up in the blockchain or a big dip, yeah, it would show up in the analytics very, very quickly, and you're not stuck waiting on somebody to admit that they did that. Now, again,
and
you're right. Somebody has to catch it.
At that spike at that time.
But is anybody watching it is the question. And with Bitcoin and Ethereum, yeah, they probably are. But with a lot of these smaller cryptocurrencies, I mean, is anybody sitting there really doing the analytics on Dogecoin? I mean, they might be. But, you know, the problem with some of those is that there's so much less of them in use and flowing through the system that it's possible for a single player with enough money basically to manipulate those systems just through the act of buying and selling. Now, it'll be obvious they're doing it unless they're working through a lot of shell wallets, but even then you'll be able to see on the blockchain where somebody's done this to, you know, pump and dump or whatever it is they're doing. So, you know, for what that's worth.
With going from proof of work to proof of ownership, do you think it's going to be as easy to audit with the spike still show up as quickly?
Actually, it'll show up faster because with proof of work, it was a curve, right? So, and you would see variations on it. So like in the Bitcoin, if you looked at the amount of new Bitcoin coming in, you know, it would start with a certain amount, you know, coming in per hour. And that amount would slowly increase. And then you'd see big spikes when, like, somebody figured out how to mine on GPUs. And then everybody would be back up there because the difficulty rating was going up. But it was going up at a predictable rate based on current technology. So those spikes, if it wasn't somebody saying, hey, I just invented a new ASIC miner, you know, that could solve Bitcoin twice as fast. If you didn't have that, then, yeah, it would look like manipulation. But with proof of stake, since it's time-based, it should be a just flat line on the graph. So it'd be real obvious if manipulation's happening then, because there's literally a set amount of Ethereum showing up in the new Ethereum showing up on the chain on a regular basis. Now, arguably, if you want to do market manipulation, there's enough Ethereum on the chain already to do that without having to create new Ethereum. So then it's a question of picking your risks, right?
Oh, but manipulation can be done with any commodity. You're just trying to control enough of it. You buy enough of it, then hoard it and sell it at spikes or whatever.
Yeah.
Or just dump what you've got and then buy when it hits the low.
I don't know. Are you? Do you have anything else on that before we move on to this? You know.
No, I'm good, man.
All right. Next article is from The Verge. Utility company locked thousands of customers out of their smart thermostats in Colorado. Xcel offered a one-time $100 credit on electricity bills upon signing up, and a $25 a year afterward for participation. Basically, what they did was they gave people a $25 a year break and a $100 credit on their electricity bill. For signing up to let the utility company choose when you get to run your air conditioner and heater in the winter, I guess. So when the grid was high, they could go in and reduce everyone's AC. And of course the power company says, oh, this is more efficient. Instead of having brownouts, we can just raise everybody's AC by a couple of degrees and you'll probably not even notice. Well, they wouldn't let people lower them, I think they were set, all their temperatures got up to like 88 degrees. Like they couldn't set it lower than that because in the middle of a heat wave.
A climate change is going to be the next 20 years of we have to do this because of climate change.
It's the same story we talked about.
Use it for everything.
It's the same story we talked about in Texas a couple of months ago, where the utility company put in smart thermostats, people took the bonus and didn't understand what it meant, and then the first time there's a heat wave and the power grid's under stress, what do? And, you know, this is in Colorado. Imagine in California, if enough people do this crap.
Any place where it gets really hot.
Well, the thing is, I'm thinking California with the whole don't charge your electric car thing. You think they wouldn't be just killing people's AC?
We're going to end gasoline by 2030.
Well, I'm just saying they're the ones who are much more likely to push this idea of you have to put, you know, as opposed to saying, here's a bonus if you let us do this, saying, no, no, it's mandatory. Like, are you saying for climate change? And just turning your AC off when it's too hot because they don't have the power to support it.
You know what else you don't have the power to support? A million fucking immigrants. Don't even have the water, let alone the transport infrastructure to start doing this. California's a fucking basket case, man.
Oh, it's okay. We'll just send all the immigrants to Mar-a-Lago. What do we find?
Let alone the amount of child and fucking labor we're going to need to dig out the cobalt and all that. Aluminium and tin and
Madman, save my joke. What was I saying? I said Mar-a-Lago. Where was it they just sent the immigrants to?
Washington, D.C. was one of them, and they just started with Chicago.
Martha's Vineyard. Thank you. Why did I say, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I've got something for the Martha's Vineyard thing for you.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord, it's a fortune.
That meme, really.
That's great. We're posting that in the IRC. I saw rats come in and leave, but there we go. Yeah. You know, the whole, all the political slogans come back out. No trespassing. Yep.
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what it is. Not in my backyard. That's exactly what it is.
You know what it'll take in my backyard? Nuclear power plant.
I would too.
Just saying.
As long as it was properly encased and shielded. And we know how to do it.
If it's a modern one that's not built by China,
yeah.
I would like some French engineers, please.
Let's.
The French are the most advanced right now.
What are we at? 53. All right, let's. I think I'm going to skip the HP story because it's boring and nobody really cares. And we will go to the. Hell. Let's do the CNBC story. Gun law advocates hail new credit card code as way to cut down on suspicious sales. So I'm not even going to read the story. Everybody knows it because it's been all over the news. Essentially, the credit card companies have agreed to a new transaction code that gun stores will be identified under. So transactions on your credit card at a gun store will have this code attached to them. Now, these codes aren't anything new. Credit card processors have been coding various transaction types for years. right? So what they've done is they've created a new one, and they're specifically flagging gun stores. They obviously haven't done that before. Usually these codes are
retail, hospital,
automotive, yeah, things like that. So what they've done is traditionally gun stores would have been under retail. Now they're
And it's service more than just automotive, so it's even broader. Yeah.
Right. So they're adding a specific one. And of course they've got the usual suspects on the politicians coming out saying how wonderful this is that they're doing it. And they're saying, oh, well, when you buy an airline ticket or pay for your groceries, your card has a credit code for those too. And that's true. They absolutely do. But your groceries just show up as retail. They don't show up as gun store. So, I mean, granted, I think all of us pretty much agree on, well, maybe not. I know Madman and I agree on gun politics, and I don't really want to get into the politics of the guns. I want to get into the politics of the credit card companies deciding to code certain types of purchases beyond the broad categories. So
it just makes it easier to regulate whatever they're coding.
Right. So, okay, they're doing guns now. What happens if they start coding, I don't know, certain types of restaurants?
Or alcohol.
Yeah, alcohol is a good one.
Weed.
Yeah, where that's legal, weed. What happens if they start coding?
On that one, it kind of already is. Credit card companies still shy away from a lot of weed retailers because it is technically federal.
Well, actually, though, okay, here's a good one. Here's a good one. What if it's hospitals? What if they started, instead of just saying medical care or hospital, they started coding it by the service you had done, by the procedure you had done? So if your credit card had a code on it for that you went in for, you know, a heart-related treatment versus, say, a cosmetic surgery.
Is your credit rating goodbye?
What, right? Or, you know, your insurance suddenly shoots up.
You've got heart issues.
You think they won't start selling that information to insurance companies?
Uh-huh, right.
So
you think they already don't?
Well.
they just haven't figured a legal way to discriminate with it yet.
My point is that, and of course, credit card companies have always had, you know, records of the transactions, but usually it's just amounts and the merchant, right? You know, you go look at your bank statement. It'll say the merchant. It'll say the amount. It doesn't usually say what you bought. By getting more granular with these transaction codes, you start to open up this idea that anything you purchase through a credit card potentially becomes public knowledge that you purchased that. Does that bother you? In a lot of cases, probably not. Most people probably don't care if the credit card company knows what brand of cereal you buy or what brand of toilet paper you buy. But you might care if it's your health, if it's, you know, you had to go to the hospital for something. You might care if it's a, and what if it's something you don't, you know, that's, okay, here's a fun example. Let's say it's electric cars. They want to put a new code out there so they can give you a bonus on buying electric cars. And then 5 years from now, they figure out, oh, all, you know, like all the stuff Ari was saying, all the heavy metals for the battery, the strip mining, the fact that, you know, a lot of the raw materials come from China. Oh, well, now that's the bad car to own. So anyone who purchased into this car, we're going to have to fine you for your environmental damage of purchasing all these heavy metals. I mean, this shit swings both ways. Whether you agree with the politics of the current one or not, by collecting this information, you make it possible for people to act on it. And by opening the door to say, okay, well, we're going to codify gun purchases. Well, now we're going to codify the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And you open the, you kind of, you know, once that Pandora's box is open, where does it end? Yes, I know it's a slippery slope argument or the logical fallacy, but we're dealing with politics, not logic.
And so far, in a lot of cases, a slippery slope has not been a fallacy. It has been correct.
Well, again, but, we're dealing with politicians, not logicians.
And it's not even something that you have to do what-ifs about. There have been a couple of recent administrations that wanted to curtail certain purchases, namely alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. And they've been trying to lean on merchants just through licensing to make it harder for people to purchase those things, make them less available. And now you have credit card companies, at least when it comes to the firearms part, coding it, making it easier. What if their credit card companies decide, okay, well, alcohol kills more people than guns. Maybe we should also help restrict alcohol sales.
Well, you remember a couple of years back when I think it was American Express said they weren't going to allow transactions on one of the porn sites. Was it Pornhub?
Probably Pornhub.
Well, what if they say, okay, well, we're going to codify internet smut? There's one. Occasionally want to put regulations on that. Oh, well, if we put a code on it, well, that makes it easier to regulate. That makes it easier to track those purchases. That's an easy one. What if OnlyFans is now going to have its own code? You think that's not going to have an impact? So, I just think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, you...
I think you're opening the door to something. It's the exact same thing as where we said that, DNS providers picking and choosing web hosters saying, oh, we don't want to support this platform. We think their group is a hate group, opens the doors. And now you see things getting banned all the damn time.
All this is correlated real time, right? Pretty much in the bank.
Once a transaction's passed. It's not quite real time, but yeah.
Okay, then this won't work then.
Like in a day, depending on what kind of reporting you're thinking.
I can see you've reached your purchase of sodas this month.
Yeah.
You can't purchase any more soda because that's within the green new policy sugar tax. It's actually bad for the environment. So you can't have that. You can have soda next month.
If they set up a category like this, yeah. You would be able to possibly sneak in a couple extra cans, but not a lot.
You'd have to go all in one go.
Well, yeah, it's because it's a lot of these banks will do it on a batch basis. So that's why I was saying a day. Usually what happens is a lot of their transactions get piled up, and then at night, they'll run the code that actually runs all the transactions after business hours. So that way the ledger is set.
One reason it's batched at the banks is it's also batched at the retailers.
Yeah.
They don't, not a constant stream. It's batched there too.
But if it had its own code, you could do things like, let's keep going with soda. I like that one. If it's got its own code, the system, it can put a limit and decline the transaction because you're trying to buy more on that code than is allowed.
Yeah, at the retailer, very easily.
Oh, yeah.
They already do that with code medicine, ammunition during shortages. Yeah, lots of things. With its own code, a retailer can definitely do limit. And doing statewide limits or even nationwide limits, hard limits, wouldn't be that much more difficult. And if you give it its own code, especially if you're going down to item level, you can actually have transactions with those items report more frequently than normal transactions. So you might have a regular batch transaction every 15 minutes. You could have the
if somebody's purchasing, I don't know, Sudafed, the real stuff, that's got to get processed immediately because we have to know if somebody's, trying to buy up enough to go make meth.
Yeah, you could say these are processed. It's actually getting fast enough. You could possibly even say something like that could be processed real time. And now it's going to cost the retailer a bit more, so they're probably going to up their debit card fee.
So that's the only point I wanted to make about it, was that you're opening the door to your card processors picking and choosing what you're allowed to do and how much you're
Do it. Look, we'll see it in our lifetime. Don't worry.
Yay.
No, I'm serious. We will see a version of this in our lifetime.
Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine.
Same where I can see all countries that have welfare will go to a cashless welfare.
That was a mistake. I didn't mean to click that sound.
Yeah, it'll be cashless welfare.
No, this country's mostly done that.
Yeah, EBT.
What, you can't get cash out on EBT?
Oh, originally a lot of our welfare, they were given actual food stamps were a form of cash. Yeah, they then moved it to a debit card, EBT. And after the EBT card, they don't call it a food stamps card because you can put other benefits on it as well. Like a military pension can be put on an EBT card.
Okay.
So it's you can do a cash withdrawal if you have a benefit that allows for cash purchases. But once it's on an EBT card, most people just treat it like a debit or credit card and just spend it off that completely electronic. They don't cash out.
Okay.
So it's mostly cashless now in my country.
So you can use your EBT card at the weed shop?
Probably not, and it's not as much that can't buy weed. It's really hard to do any electronic purchases.
Well, yeah, how do the unemployed buy weed?
They go to the ATM, withdraw cash, and then go to the weed shop.
That's what I'm saying. EBT, yeah. EBT, you can get cash out. I'm talking about a cash electronic card that you cannot take cash out of. They will monitor every fucking transaction.
Well, until weed gets legalized nationally, would just have trouble buying weed.
Yeah, no,
unless you went to a drug dealer and they just did Square and just labeled it anything, I just sold you soda pop.
Yeah, I'm just saying that'll be the introduction. That's how they'll start it. And then they'll look at the benefits that it's having for all these people that we can now tell them they can only have 300 grams of meat a month and, you know, this and that many. So look how healthy that group is. You all should be doing this. It's for your own health and safety, people. And the climate change isn't helping itself. Anyway, let's move away from this.
So what I have for you in Dojo tonight is a interesting little project I found online. It's called 8-Bit Workshop. I shouldn't call it a little project either. It's actually got quite a bit. So what this thing is a 8-bit emulator for a bunch of different systems written in the browser. Atari 2600, NES, Verilog, several arcade machines, Midway, Galaxian, Atari Vector, Williams machines, the Apple II, the MSX, ColecoVision, Sega Master System, Commodore 64, of course, Atari 7800, 800, Spectrum, Z Machine, a few other little things in here. And it's an IDE. So when you open this thing up, you can pick a platform, like go consoles, and you got Sega Master System or the NES or the Atari 2600. Let me pick the NES here. And then they've got a bunch of examples built in, but you can actually write C code. And it's got the IDE on one side, it's got the emulator on the other. And so if you wanted to try writing your own C or assembler or whatever else they support, it's, I think it's mostly C, you can develop your own code for these old 8-bit systems and try them out right in the browser. And of course, you've got the code right there. So if you wanted to then port it to real hardware later, you could. But I just thought it was fascinating because they had all these different systems they supported. Basic Z Machine. I think I read them all out. They got x86, they got FreeDOS in here. So, the different MSX. So, yeah, it's just kind of cool, you know? So, something to play with if you want to see what old machines were like, or, the basic interpreter here looks fine. Just pulled that up. So, something to play with, something kind of fun. They've got books linked to it, too, for, like, making 8-bit machines, 8-bit arcade games in C, making games for the NES, and things like that. So, yeah, it's just a fun little project if you want to try your hand at coding some of these old 8-bit systems and see what it was like with the different limitations and, having to write directly to different various hardware chips and things like that, as opposed to today, where you've got about 10 layers separating you from the hardware in a modern computer, so you write to libraries like DirectX and OpenGL, and usually you've got something for whatever whatever engine you're using in between that and even that, the OpenGL or DirectX libraries. So, but Anyways, that's all I have for you tonight. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on the little 8-bit workshop webpage there.
I think you ran it down pretty well.
All right. Of course, listen to the stream we're always working on, Peer Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit in the IRC tonight, CyberLard, Cycros, Madman, myself, Sardonyx, the Soylent Bomb, and Rats, who was in earlier. Looks like he came in and left a couple of times, so I don't know what's going on there. Probably having connection problems. Madman, closing thoughts.
Oh, I think I'm going to go track down my corporate issued tracking device.
Okay.
It's missing.
Well, when you find your cell phone, let me know. Are you closing thoughts?
I don't need to go look for my corporate tracking device.
Madman, do you want me to make, we want me to start pinging your corporate tracking device so it makes noises?
I actually think I know where it is. I think I left it in my car.
Wow. Oh, that is,
trusting.
Yeah. I was going to leave that right there, Madman.
Hey, they know where my car is, okay? What if it's stolen? This way I can contact my cell phone provider.
If your car gets stolen,
where my car is.
Your phone gets stolen and your information gets stolen. Why is it in your car? We'll address that in the show.
There's no information about me on my phone. I used to make calls.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Oh, fuck.